Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's always a pleasure. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. And I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance and use it to your advantage. It's all free. Everything's free there except for the books. We ask you to pay for the books. Otherwise, it's all free. And I hope you'll check out the blog and the archives and the articles. The blog we'll send to you Monday through Friday. We update it every weekday. And we have a newsletter that we have been working on now for 7 years. And we'll be glad to send that to you on Sunday by email and get you ready for the week ahead. So I hope you'll check all those things out at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Elizabeth Gaudio is with us, ladies and gentlemen. She is the senior executive counsel of the NFIB. I think she likes for her friends to call her Beth. And if I'm not mistaken, Beth, is that right?
Right. Jeff. It's good to have. Yep, I am Beth.
It's good to have you back. And by the way, folks, you remember I was in Washington last week for the NFIB's biannual Small Business Summit, the 2006 summit. I broadcast from up there a couple of days. And Beth, we had a great time, didn't we?
We really did. It was a fantastic event, and I'm so glad that you were able to join us.
Well, I am too. Thank you for the invitation. It was a lot of fun meeting all the award-winning small business owners that you guys arranged for me to interview and introduce to my audience, and had a great time. A lot of wonderful speakers. It was so fascinating to hear Governor Barbour of Mississippi.
Yeah.
It wasn't just fascinating. It was aspiring, but I tell you what, there were some choked up folks, including me, when he talked about the people digging out of Hurricane Katrina in southern Mississippi. It was tough.
It really was. It really was a moving speech.
It was very much so, and all the others there. I'm so proud of Senator Enzi for the work he's doing on health care, on small business health plans. Heard him speaking. He's going to be on the show pretty soon. We're going to get him on there.
Fantastic. Yeah, he is definitely a hero to NFIB.
Absolutely.
Really is.
Well, he sure is. And I'll tell you what else, ladies and gentlemen. Beth, after he spoke, I met him.
And you
would have thought, he was just a regular guy. You know, so many members of Congress, when I've met them, they said, see that guy over there? That's the guy you need to talk to. Senator Enzi stopped, talked to me, pulled out his wallet, and pulled his own card out of his own pocket and handed me his card and wrote down the name of the person I need to talk to organize his visit. But my point is, you know, I felt like I was just talking to another business person.
Exactly. How about that? Has that ever happened before?
No,
I have never heard a member of Congress or senator do that before.
Never.
That's fantastic.
Never. I mean, I really felt like I was just meeting another small business owner.
Well, I think that's a testament to,
no question about it.
Yeah.
How much? And it lets you know that when he works on things for small businesses, that he's doing it for the right reasons.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I was very proud of him. Okay, you've been watching. You guys have been watching the Supreme Court. What have they been up to?
The Supreme Court. Yeah. Well, last week we got two decisions from the Supreme Court. I say they weighed in two areas that affect businesses, large and small. They tackled property rights and workers' rights in decisions last week. And
let's do the bad news first.
Okay, that was the case of Burlington Northern and Santa Fe Railroad versus Sheila White, and a unanimous decision there. The court sided with an employee who complained about sexual harassment on the job.
Unanimous decision.
Unanimous decision. Yeah.
When has that ever happened?
I know.
Did four of them not show up that day?
9-0, they sided with the employee. Now, one of the justices, Alito, did file a concurring opinion, but it really was a unanimous decision to side with the employee, and it was dealing with the issue of retaliation under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act.
Right.
Now, you know, Title VII prohibits discrimination, and it also prohibits retaliation against an employee who complains about discrimination.
Which on its surface makes perfect sense and sounds logical,
right,
and reasonable, and something you'd want for any of your family members.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. If you complain about discrimination, you know, you feel you were fired because of your race,
right,
you want to be able to complain about that and not be retaliated against,
right,
you know.
Right.
So what is
the NFIB? What was the bone that the NFIB was picking with the court on this issue?
Well, going into the case, we did not know what retaliation was. It hadn't been defined, and courts in the country were all over the place as to what constitutes retaliation. So going into this case, in our brief, we were hoping for two things from the court. One, a clear, bright-line rule defining what retaliation is, so employers would know. And two, a rule that would give employers internal grievance policies time to work out without, you know, threat of premature litigation. And unfortunately, the court's opinion in Burlington Northern, I think, failed to deliver on both counts.
Didn't give us a decision on what retaliation is. To me, it would be where you were given an assignment that, you know, you'd already earned certain level of assignments because of your capability, and then all of a sudden you were sort of demoted with assignments.
Exactly.
Or you were repeatedly given the tough assignments when others weren't. Anything that looked like you might be mistreated a little bit.
Right, you're right. We had argued it needed to be kind of an ultimate employment decision, you know, something kind of final. And unfortunately, the court came back and said, no, retaliation is something that's materially adverse to a reasonable person. So kind of a very contextual, subjective standard almost.
Right.
So it needs, and the court admitted that's going to have to be decided on a case-by-case basis. You know, what's retaliation to Jim might not be retaliation to Beth. So it's going to just really lead to more litigation.
Well, here's the other thing that I think, that I see. I smell something in that decision, because it's going to ultimately be argued that what's retaliation to a man is different from what's retaliation to a woman.
Yes, absolutely.
That's going to happen, isn't it?
Yes, and what's retaliation even to a young parent?
To a minority compared to a white person, whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And these cases are expensive. They're expensive to litigate.
Yeah.
You know, last year in 2004, we had the EEOC received about 75,000 cases of employment discrimination, and Jim, over 50% of those came from employees at small businesses.
Yeah, and that's very expensive. And without any kind of well-defined understanding of what, for example, retaliation is, a small business owner can't be stopped early on, can they?
No.
They've got to be fought all the way out.
They really must be. And, you know, heaven forbid you end up, you know, going to a jury, which...
Yep.
Very expensive.
We needed them to do a little more work there in the court, and they didn't do it. We're going to move over to some good news.
Yeah.
When we come back with Beth Gaudio. She's with the NFIB. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
All my friends in the small town. My parents live in the same. Children play in the park. They don't know.
It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Beth Gaudio, the Senior Executive Counsel at the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business. That's NFIB.org. Actually, .com too, right? NFIB.com?
Right, yep. Either one works, Jim.
That'll get you right there to the NFIB's website. And, folks, I encourage you to check them out and to support them, as I do and as I have done now for... over 15 years I've been a member of the NFIB, and I like the work that they do. They do a lot of good work, not only in Washington, but also in all 50 of the state houses. And one of the things that you've been tracking, you've been working on some of the stuff that the Supreme Court's been up to, and we just talked about the failure of the court to give us better definitions of what employee retaliation is, so that small business owners can do a better job of defending themselves. Your point on that case was not that maybe Ms. White didn't have a reason to file her case, but we would like to. It was an opportunity lost, wasn't it?
It really was. It was an opportunity lost. And employers now are going to need to be very careful in dealing with any employee who's lodged a complaint of discrimination. You know,
I'm trying to remember.
Job change. You just need to be really, really careful.
Do you know the number The total number that litigation costs small business owners a year. Do you have that number, Andy?
I do not have the total litigation cost, but I can tell you the cost of liability insurance is the second biggest problem facing small business owners.
Yep, and that's gone up a lot since 2001, by the way.
It has. It has. So litigation is not a good thing.
I think the SBA's Office of Advocacy has a number, and I just don't have it in front of me, but the number is mind-boggling, that what small business owners spend every year defending themselves.
Yeah.
And many times, it's just because of this type of thing that we were just talking about. Let's move over and talk about some good news there. The Supreme Court did a couple of good things this time, didn't they?
Yes, they did, over with it's property rights or dealing with the Clean Water Act there. They reined in the federal regulators a little bit there last week in the case of United States versus John Rapanos.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did get some good news out of court last week. Last fall, the U.S. Supreme Court had agreed to hear the appeal of John Rapanos, and he is a small business owner who was criminally prosecuted and convicted for filling wetlands on his land. He was planning to develop his land, filled them with wetlands, and was hit with...
He owned the property.
He owned the property.
Which happened to include a drainage ditch.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken. It was a drainage ditch, folks.
Government
regulators came in and declared to be a wetlands.
Yep. They said it was a navigable water, believe it or not.
Unbelievable. A drainage ditch, ladies and gentlemen.
And the government, through the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, really, because they're the ones that have jurisdiction over the Clean Water Act, has gotten a lot more, just over the last 10 years, so aggressive over regulating, roadside ditches, storm drains, even, ripples of sand in the desert that may contain water once a year, too. They're contending all of these are navigable waters of the United States, and you can't fill them. So essentially you've got land that you can't develop. You can't do anything with it.
Yeah.
You can't touch it.
This is an assault on property rights, ladies and gentlemen.
It really is.
And what did the Supreme Court say?
And the Supreme Court said in the case of John Rapanos, they went too far. They went too far.
What, did they go out to the site and realize that there were no barges going to go up and down this drainage ditch? Let's stand here for the day and see if any barges come by.
Right. Well, this case, NFIB has been fighting ever-increasing federal regulation of wetlands for years, and we've been doing that because to get a permit under the Clean Water Act, because you can get a permit to do the fill work in some cases, but these permits are very expensive. The costs associated with obtaining federal wetlands permits are difficult for small businesses, small builders, small developers like John Rapanos to absorb.
Beth, one thing is when people think of wetlands, they think if you have HDTV, you watch Sunrise America. You got all these beautiful little swampy areas where the birds are tweeting and the ducks are flying in. And we're not talking about that kind of a situation, folks.
No, we are not.
We're not talking about where the ducks grow and the antelope play and all that kind of. We're not talking about stuff like that. We're talking about drainage ditches.
Right, roadside ditch that might have water in it once a year.
Right.
That's it.
And a salamander crossed it, a couple of hundred years ago, and somebody decides it's a drainage ditch. A wetlands.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. Unreasonable things.
It really is unreasonable.
And the court said stop.
The court said stop. They said you need to go back. Now, one thing that we're a little disappointed is that, once again, we didn't get a bright line rule. We all like the bright line rules, right? So the court said in this situation, you went too far. You cannot regulate this ditch. But we did not get the bright line rule as to how far you can go. So I think what's going to happen is the U.S. Army Corps, they've been slapped, spanked, if you will.
Right.
And they're going to have to go back and probably issue a new rule defining. That's actually what the court told them.
Are the regulators being pushed by some of the environmental folks? Are they filing suit on behalf of the government, or what are they? What's going on?
Oh, they're filing suit, yes. Yeah. They're filing suit,
the greenies.
Yes.
So they're pushing the government to regulate yeah.
All these
Yeah, it's a war, ladies and gentlemen. To some degree, it's a war.
It really is.
And Beth, I want to thank you and the NFIB for fighting that war for us.
Well, thank you, Jim.
Thank you for being here. Good job, as always. And keep us posted on how things are going.
I will.
You're always welcome back on the show anytime.
Well, thank you, Jim. You have a great day.
Thanks. Beth Gaudio, ladies and gentlemen, with the NFIB. Quick break, 29 after. I'll be right back with Mr. David McCullough, the author of the book 1776. A fascinating interview is about to happen, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.